Good evening. We'll open with invocation. Heavenly Father, we ask your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. We gather here today with the intent of doing good work. We seek to represent fairly and well those who have given us this task. Help us engage in meaningful discussion. Give us clarity and strength to use our best skills and judgment. Bless this community, its residents and businesses and visitors. And help us to continue in doing good work in your name. Amen. Call to order. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Here.
Councilmember Bracken.
Present.
Councilmember Davis.
Here.
Councilmember Brooks. Councilmember Dietz.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Here.
Mayor Gray.
Here.
All are present besides Councilmember
Thank you. Please
Brooks.
Rise. Pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First, I want to thank everybody for coming in tonight or online. A few things I wanted to mention. Of course, we have starlighting this coming Saturday. Hopefully, everyone can make it. It's definitely a pretty amazing event. And hopefully, everyone can have a safe time and we can watch the star get lit up and have some fireworks. One of the things I wanted to mention was kind of piggyback on last time on the Men's Health, Mental Health Month. I mean, one of the things we had a lot of tragic suicides throughout the year, but in November especially, already this month, and whether it's locally or statewide or countrywide. One of the things we kind of forget sometimes, and I didn't realize this until recently, is that male suicide is 4 times as prevalent as female suicide. And so I think that the male species sometimes does not do well with either therapy or self-reflection sometimes and getting their pride in the way. So if you know somebody who needs a pick-me-up or a phone call or just a chat, please reach out. And then I think this is my last going for each department. I have fire tonight. That's one of the things it's a fire agency here, Castle Rock Fire's 130th anniversary. They average 22 calls a day. They still have their accreditation. They got it redone this year. 9 new firefighters this year, and that's a lot of help from 2A and town in general. And our citizens, I thank you guys again for voting that in. They also spent 6 weeks in California for support. They also spent some time in Texas during the flooding. They got a new engine this year. Station 156 should break ground in early 2026. And also a couple things for people. We have Mike Zakowski, he's Douglas County Mason, firefighter of the year for 153. We also had No, I can't think of it. Matt, help me out, Chief. Matt Osborne, who was the Mason for the Masons here in town. Help me out, Councilmember Dietz. American Legion, 1187. And then Ben Jennings was a finalist for the entire nation for Tech of the Year. So there's a lot of great things going on with the firefighters here, and we have an amazing agency and amazing people doing that job. So I just want to thank everybody for doing that job. And with that, Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Super excited for Starlighting too, and just see our downtown lit up. As most of you know, that our fire department works on the star every year, but all those lights in downtown Castle Rock get taken down every year and put back up again. So just want to thank all those crews that have been out in the middle of the night, because you don't see them during the day. They're working nights week after week to get those ready. So super excited to get going this week.
Thank you, Councilmember Bracken.
Thank you, Mayor. No comment tonight.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes. I'd like to thank the snow crews that are going to be working. I do snow plowing as well, so I just want to thank those guys and girls out there driving in the middle of the night so we can actually get to work and back. So thank you for that.
Councilmember Dietz.
Yes, I will read this whole packet to you all, but I won't. I just simply will say that through all the ups and downs we all go through, time to give thanks, grateful. I know some of us are tired and weary, and I always have something to say, but tonight I'm just thankful. So have a good night.
Thank you, Councilmember. Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yeah, just a couple of thanks. I see Hannah out there. I wanted to thank Hannah. She's a very integral part of our water department. And we've had a few curveballs on the Chatfield Watershed Board Authority, and she has been amazing helping us get it sorted out. So, Hannah, thank you very much. Mark Marlowe, I also want to thank you for your help and your guidance on Chatfield, as well as McMurdo Gulch and some of the challenges that are going on over there in Cobblestone. So thank you both very much. And then I just wanted to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. Obviously won't see everybody until afterwards. I hope you enjoy it with your friends and family and take advantage of that time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. And with that, I think we have the staff recommendation for a reappointment of Patty Hostetler to continue serving as a Castle Rock member of Douglas County Open Space Advisory Committee for a second term. If the county council approves, I will set the motion.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hollinshead, a second from Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passed 6-0.
Thank you. Next is the appointment 2025-9, appointment for Public Safety Commission. The Public Safety Commission has accepted the resignation of Mike Miller, leaving a vacancy. The interview panel has consisted of a commission chair, council liaison, and staff liaison. Interviewed candidates during the annual recruitment and unanimously recommended the applicant for the pool of Steve Godecki for a partial term ending in May 31st, 2027. If the town council approves, I will set the motion.
So moved.
Second.
First by Councilmember Hollingshead, second by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. Moving on to unscheduled public appearances, this time is reserved for members of the public to make a presentation to council on items or issues that are scheduled on the agenda. As a general practice, council will not discuss or debate these items, nor will council make any decisions on these items during this time. Rather, you may refer to items to staff for follow-up. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Time will be 30 minutes total. Residents will be given a priority in order they signed up, followed by non-residents representing town Castle Rock businesses, then non-residents, and then businesses outside of town Castle Rock as time permits. Council is also accepting public comments written and submitted online at cr.gov/council comments by 1 p.m. today be included in the public record. We do not have anybody signed to speak. If anybody wishes to speak, please approach the podium, speak in the microphone. State your name and whether you are resident, non-resident, or business owner. You'll have 3 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll move on to the town manager's report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a few items to discuss this evening. This is the calendar that gets us into the first of the year. Be sure and let Shannon know about your availability or interest to attend the State of the County event there on December 11th. And then we participate with the Toys for Tots event on December the 12th. Then you see the holiday schedules there as well. And I join Mayor Pro Tem in wishing everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Few other items. We had the neighborhood meeting last night on the fire station logistics facility, and we'll be reporting back in regards to that. We've got the final neighborhood meeting on the Canyons Far South site development plan. This is the property this council annexed and zoned there north of the terrain development, and then we've got another neighborhood meeting scheduled for a facility off of Ridge Road there on January the 15th. And we did have the CDOT Mobility Hub. Councilmember Dietz was in attendance, at least when I was there as well. And so we had a number of people there. That CDOT discussion will probably be coming back, I think they think December, but it may be also be January, back on council for additional discussion. A few other highlights. Star lighting, a lot of other holiday-related items underway for everybody's enjoyment here in the coming weeks. And just a couple of items to point to under the agenda. Lisa's got the memo that sets out the election commission decisions in regards to designating some newly annexed properties under town law. Your election commission makes those determinations. We've also got the third quarter financial report that the finance department has put together, and we thank them for that report. The town manager shorthand is that we continue to do a very good job of managing our expenditures. Expenditures are below budget. Revenue, sales tax is above budget. Revenue related to development, impact fee revenue, system development charge revenue that the Castle Rock Water Department receives. Some of our use tax revenue is not quite meeting budget, or is coming close, but is reflecting the fact that we've seen a building permit slow down in the community. I think that's got a lot to do with the cost of money, mortgage interest rates. So we're seeing that, but we're managing that accordingly. So no, while I don't want to shortcut the multi-page financial review, no major items for council consideration in regard to that report. And Mark wants now a few minutes of our time to talk about a very important water quality issue that Castle Rock Water is working its way through that will impact
all the time, right? You're always cleaning your house, whatever. But once in a while, you do like a spring cleaning. You go in there and you just really clean it good. So that's what I think of when I think of what we're planning to do. Now, we don't have to put any new equipment in or do anything different with our facilities, but we need to run this through for about 60 to 90 days to do that cleaning. Now, part of what we have to do when we do this is we have to do a very detailed flushing plan, because when we switch, we have to draw that chlorine into our system and we have to dispose of the chloraminated water, the chloramine water, and make sure that that gets out of the system so that we quickly switch from one to the other. Because as I said, you don't want to have both existing in your system at once. So we're doing a lot of planning right now to get ready to do this. We have a flushing plan we're putting in place. We're having to put into place plans to ensure that we don't end up with icing on the roads, because we're planning to do this in the winter. And so we'll have to be prepared to deal with that as we flush. Obviously, we have a sampling plan. And all of this has to be approved by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. We're going through that approval process now as well. So what does this look like schedule-wise? We're finalizing all these plans now, and then we will get ready to start in January. Now, I want council to be aware of this, and we want the community to be aware of this. The water is going to taste a little different, smell a little different. There may be even a little bit more color than folks are used to for the first few days. The water is perfectly safe, and this is nothing to be concerned about, but people will notice a difference. So I anticipate we will probably receive some phone calls. So we're preparing for that. We're going to do a lot of public outreach, which I'll show you in just a second. The schedule then would be to start in January, and it'll be a day, basically, or a day and a half or 2 days to convert from one to the other. And we'll do that in that day or two, and then we will run 60 to 90 days, and then we will convert back sometime before irrigation season and return to chloramines. And as I said, we want to continue with chloramines for all the advantages that the chloramines provide us over chlorine. Now, communications plan. So obviously we'll have this on our web page. I'm going to try to convince Dave to put it on the town's main page, the front, so that people can just be aware of it. It'll be on water bill. It'll be on the online portal. We're going to send emails. Now, for certain facilities, we're actually going to send letters and make phone calls. That'll be dialysis centers, healthcare facilities, breweries, coffee roasters, pet stores, because all of those facilities may be treating for chloramine because they remove that disinfectant quite often, and they need to know if we're going to change to a slightly different disinfectant. The good news is that chlorine is much easier to remove, and the equipment that removes chloramines also removes chlorine and actually removes it very well. So, but we still want to communicate because they need to know what's going on. And then, of course, we'll be doing social media. Everyone does social media these days except me, but I guess I'll look to see what we say. We'll be putting notices at our bulk water station, reaching out to the development community, and of course we'll provide fact sheets for you guys as well as our customer service folks. As we go through the 60 to 90 day period, we'll keep an update going through social media and on our webpage. And then when we get ready to convert back, we'll do the outreach again, so that people know that we're going back. And with that, I'm happy to answer questions.
Any questions for Mark Marlowe, our staff? Councilmember Davis?
Do you do this every year?
No. We converted to chloramines in 2013, and we have not had to do it. The reason we know we have to do it now is we have a whole plan to monitor for the potential need to do that. And we're starting to see indications that it's time for us to do this.
So this will be one every 10 years, 5 years?
Could be every five to 10 years kind of thing. It's hard to predict the exact timing because it has to do with temperature, amount of water use we have on tanks, water age, especially in the summer.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark and Hannah. That's all I have this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Town Attorney's report.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor. I have no report for you tonight.
Thank you, Caitlin. We'll go moving on to the acceptance of the agenda. If there are no changes, additions, or deletions to the agenda, a motion to accept the agenda as presented will be accepted.
I move to accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
I have a first by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey, a second by Councilmember Bracken. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent calendar, these items are general routine in nature and been previously reviewed by Town Council and will be voted on a single motion without discussion. Any member of Town Council may remove an item from the consent calendar. Number 10, Resolution 2025-142, resolution accepting the offer from Symetra Life Insurance Company for the Tenant Castle Rock Stop Loss Insurance coverage for calendar year 2026. Number 11, Resolution 2025-143, resolution waiving the formal written bidding requirement on a basis of sole source and approving service agreement with Burns and McConnell Engineering Company. Number 12, Resolution 2025-144, resolution approving a 2026 spot water lease agreement between the Town of Castle Rock and Dakin Ranch, number 2, LLC. Number 13, Resolution 2025-145, resolution approving the second amendment of the 2025 spot water lease agreement between the Town of Castle Rock and Central Colorado Water Conservancy District. Number 14, Resolution 2025-146, resolution waiving the formal written bidding requirements on the basis of sole source, approving an equipment and services agreement with Core and Main LP for water meters and related infrastructure delivery. Number 15, minutes 2025-22, minutes November 4th, 2025, Town Council meeting. I will accept the motion.
So moved.
Second.
First by Councilmember Bracken, second by Councilmember Dietz. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. Moving on to advertise public hearing and discussion action items. Public comment will be taken on these items with 4 minutes per speaker. Number 16, discussion direction for 2025-33, Public Safety Commission's recommendations for the 2026 Philip S. Miller Resource Grant Program. There's 8 applications. Pete Mangers and Clark Hamelman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. Tonight we're going to briefly review a little bit of the Philip S. Miller Resource Grant Program. The program aims to support social and human services in Castle Rock, services and benefits for Castle Rock residents, supports the town's strategic vision, and funding requests must include the provisions for the necessity of life, which include water, energy, food, and shelter assistance. The Philip S. Miller Resource Grant Program is funded by the Philip S. Miller Trust Fund. In 2023, Town Council had increased the annual budget to $45,000, allowing up to five grants awarded annually. These funds are dispersed either annually or semi-annually, depending on the amount of the award. And at this point, I would like to introduce the chair of the committee, or the commission, Clark Hamelman.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. I'm the current chair of the Public Safety Commission. Each fall, we have the assigned a job of listening to the very well-qualified applicants who are asking to share in the town's Miller grants. And this year, we had $97,000 worth of requests. Of course, we're limited to give out only $45,000. We had 8 individual applicants, and we're limited to giving that $45,000 or sharing that $45,000 among only 5 applicants. So we had the difficult job of sorting through these. The process we used is, as we have each year, is have the applicants come in and each of them give us a brief presentation on what they plan to do with the money and how they use it and how they have used it in the past, any money that they have received from the town. And then our commission members get together and go through the difficult test of our task of trying to figure out how to whittle down $97,000 worth of requests to $45,000 worth of grants. This year, you can see that we ended up with the 5 grants being the American Legion Post for $5,000, New Hope Presbyterian, and that should say New Hope Presbyterian Deacons. It's not the church itself. It's the deacons who distribute money on their behalf of $7,500. Faith Lutheran Church Food Pantry for $5,000, the Help and Hope Center for $20,000, and St. Vincent de Paul Society of Castle Rock for $7,500 for a total of the $45,000. I just want to say that it's a difficult job to whittle that down, and I guess anytime if you got 10 different groups of 7 people in the room and had them do it, there's probably an infinite number of possibilities you'd come out with this. But this is what we came out with. We used the town's charge to focus on energy, food, and shelter. And I think you'll find that all of the applicants that we are recommending the grants for meet those needs. Before I turn it back over to you and see if there's any questions, I do want to acknowledge the people that are behind all these applicants. They're all good people. They've all done good work. But there's one individual I do want to recognize who is here in the audience tonight, and I'd like him to stand, and that's Mr. Dan Marlowe. And the reason I want to bring Dan to your attention, Dan has been the executive director of Help and Hope here in Castle Rock for nearly the last decade. Earlier this year, he announced that he was planning to retire at the end of this year. He has done, in my opinion, just a wonderful job of running Help and Hope to the benefit of all the residents of Castle Rock for the most of the last decade, and I think we ought to give him a little recognition for that. So please join me.
So if there are any questions?
Any questions before we go to comments? That opens to public. Open to public, I have no one signed to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium and speak in a microphone. State your name, whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, now we'll bring it back to town council for discussion and possible motion. Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
So as the town council liaison for the Public Safety Commission, I sat in on this meeting. And as Clark alluded to, it's always difficult, right? I mean, we wish we had deeper pockets and we could award everybody everything that they needed. One item to note this year is food was a very hot topic. A lot of folks here, as you can see here, the majority of them, in fact, all of them except American Legion, is all about giving food into the community. So, and the other thing that we really looked at was what directly benefits Castle Rock. There's some great stuff on there, but it tends to maybe go broader than Castle Rock. And so when you have to start making tough decisions about where to put this money, we chose to pick the ones that were very dedicated to Castle Rock. So I am in full support of what the commission did, and I appreciate all their hard work on this.
Would you like to do the motion since it's still so dear to you and you're part of it?
I move to approve the Public Safety Commission's recommendations and award the 2026 Philip S. Miller Resource Grant Program monies as follows. American Legion Post 1187, $5,000. New Hope Presbyterian, $7,500. Faith Lutheran Church Food Pantry, $5,000. Help and Hope Center, $20,000. St. Vincent de Paul Society of Castle Rock, $7,500.
Second.
First by Member Pro Tem Cavey, second by Councilmember Davis. And not really any further discussion, but I wanted to say, yeah, thanks a lot. And I've worked with Dan for quite some time, and it's always been my pleasure. And congratulations on retirement. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. Now we have number 17, direction discussion 2025-34, discussion direction on nonprofit programs.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is to continue some discussions about your grant programs as directed by Council at a recent meeting. You all, in addition to the program we just heard about, have the Council Community Grant Program, and that's the main focus of this item, but we do touch on the Philip S. Miller Resource Grants as well in this presentation. But to give a little bit of background and information about the Council Community Grants, those have been in existence since at least 2011. That's kind of the furthest back memo I found about those. The funding then was at $8,000 a year, $2,000 a quarter, up to $500 per grant. And the criteria are on the screen. I won't read those, but essentially it's community-based projects adding to the quality of life in Castle Rock with special focus on youth, seniors, environmental sustainability, and performing and visual arts. Since its inception, the program was updated in 2013 to clarify some things, including that the funds could be rolled over each quarter as long as they didn't exceed $8,000 per year, that council would really look at each application individually as they make decisions on the applications, that preference would be given to applicants who have not received a grant previously, and that organizations can only receive one grant per year. And finally, the most recent update was a couple years ago in 2023 when the funding was increased. I'm sorry, that shouldn't be $8,000 per year. Yeah, that's a typo on my part. I'm sorry, that is $16,000 with quarterly disbursements up to $4,000 and $1,000 per request. I just didn't get my bullet updated there, so my apologies for that one. But so 16, 4, and 1. So essentially everything doubled in 2023. You all are very fresh on the Philip S. Miller grants, but I wanted to touch on those as well. That's been in existence even longer, since the mid-90s. The current annual budget is $45,000, up to 5 grants, and those are really for those necessities of life, like was just discussed in the prior presentation. Also in your packet is information from a dozen other communities about how they handle these types of needs, and that's really why both sets of grants are represented, because a lot of them cross over in several communities. And really what I found in researching, and I just cast a wide call throughout the state, and then I reached out specifically to the most similar communities to us. And what I kind of found is if you know what one community does, you know what one community does. There's no real standard for this. It's really to council's discretion, what's going to be best for Castle Rock. There are some communities very nearby with really no grants. They do have some service contract type arrangements, which I also noted those in your memo. So that would be like the Chamber, the EDC, the Senior Center. Kind of tried to leave those separate to not even further complicate this. But to places like Broomfield, where this is a almost $2 million a year program with grants, individual grants up to $200,000, but they're a little unique because they're a city and a county, not just a city, and counties tend to have a lot more human services than cities. So didn't really find any common themes, but there's a lot of information in your packet about what we found when we reached out to everybody else. But really, we looked at this in town manager's office and finance, since they handle administration of these grants. And Trish and Peter here as resources as well, if you want to call upon them during this discussion. But we came up with a list of options you all may wish to consider as we move this program forward. The fourth quarter grants are on your agenda for next month, and then, of course, we'll kind of roll right into the first quarter grants for next year. So if you do want to make any changes, we would love your direction on timing, whether we want to try to implement those right away. We already have the fourth quarter applicants kind of in the pipeline, so do we want to make changes for that for next month, or do we want to kind of set these into place for 2026? But the first option is to increase the budget a bit to $20,000. That can be accommodated within the general fund where these community grants are. And so if you wanted some more resources to fund the request, that is certainly an option. Right now, we don't necessarily collect information on the organization's total resource picture and how they might take our grant and leverage that with other resources. We do ask that information when we engage in our service contracts with, you know, Chamber, Downtown, et cetera. So we could add that to give you all a bit more information as you deliberate these requests. We could give preference to truly Castle Rock-based. The current criteria allow organizations outside of Castle Rock as long as they're serving people in Castle Rock, but we could strengthen that even further and really look for Castle Rock based organizations. We could try and do a lower grant cap. You know, you saw in the earlier slide it used to be $500, and so maybe if we wanted to go less than $1,000, we could spread the resource around more. New this past year was an arts and culture grant program, which you all heard about a few meetings back, if you'll recall. And that is one of the criteria for this council community grant, is arts and culture. And so now that we have a dedicated program for that, should we remove them from this pool of applicants in order to more narrowly focus this set of funds for the community grants? That's something y'all might wish to consider. You know, there are some communities like Douglas County, which runs these type of programs through a foundation. And so they might have more time to really dig into some of these details that you all kind of deliberate on during your council meeting. So that is an option in our research that we found that might be worth considering, is working with the foundation to dig in and help you decide how to allocate the funds. Could also, again, just kind of in the idea of collecting more information, come up with some reporting requirements and guidance to keep people on an eligible list. You know, we make these awards and a lot of them return, but we don't have any strict criteria surrounding that, so we could try and look at some sort of criteria to verify their ongoing compliance in terms of doing what they said they were going to do with the funds. You could just kind of do random selection so that you're not picking based on, you know, the application. But if, as long as they're qualified, you could kind of almost do a random selection and say, okay, the random winners this quarter were, you know, there were 10 groups eligible. We put them into a drawing, and these eight are getting the grants or what have you. That might be one way to approach this. Or you might ask people to sit out a cycle or two. If you know, you see these repeat awardees in your packet. There's an attachment for all of the awards in the most recent, I think, 5 years, and you see a lot of the same entities receiving the grants. So you could say, okay, once you've received for a year or two, then you've got to sit out for a year or something like that, again, to just try to get more organizations involved and these funds available to them. So a lot of ideas we threw at the wall and wanted to see council's reaction and direction to those. And in particular, if you do like to make any changes, whether those should be to the fourth quarter awards, which are coming right up, or whether we should look to make those changes for 2026. And that's the end of what we have to present. Glad to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Any questions before we get to public comment?
Nope, just suggestions.
Okay. I have no one signed to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium, speak in the microphone. State with their name or your resident, non-resident, or business owner. You have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, now we'll bring it back to town council for further discussion and a possible motion. Councilmember Dietz.
I definitely think everybody in council here would agree this is a very special grant program. I think when we see some of the other communities that give a heck of a lot more than us, I'd like to at least see us go to 20,000, you know, but then dole it out however we see fit, but stick within that 5,000 for that quarter, like never go over. And then, but once the money is given, it's given. How do we tell them how to use it? I definitely don't like hiring out somebody else, like the number six. I think that's just a waste of our money to have somebody facilitate it for us. And that's really it, whatever the rest of you might have.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
I'm not sure about four, just because if we lower it from $1,000, just $500 really help somebody.
You know, some of these organizations might help a lot, but
do they?
You know, but I think that you're probably right. I mean, I think 1,000 is probably good. Yeah. But I think that, you know, I think Councilmember Hollins had a good idea as well. It's like, you know, a lot of these, you know, school organizations, you know, I think can probably go on their own now. I think that it can be more. I think I like the idea that it's based in Castle Rock as well. But I think the school organizations, you know, for the sports and stuff can probably be, maybe you could talk about that a little bit, Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how you write it to the results, but, or the application, but really the youth and high school sports, there's just so many of them. When we open that up, it's hard to be equal to everybody who might get overwhelmed. But maybe if it's a once in a lifetime opportunity or, you know, something tragic that happens to a program or they need a one-time thing, they could apply. But for regular yearly operations, and events, we wouldn't support something like that. I think that's pretty reasonable because there's just in this town, there'd be 500 groups that could apply, right?
And I think starting 2026 rather than this last one would probably be good too. Okay.
Kristen, could you go to the next page? Number 9 for everyone. Like, if we had them cycle out of applying, would it be for 6 months, for a year, like they could apply once?
They can only get it once a year right now anyways. But okay. I think one of the ideas is like, if we get the same group maybe 2 years in a row, and then we cycle them out for a year.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Like that.
Well, you know, what if we end up with only two people applying?
No, that's true, but we haven't had that in quite some time.
Yeah, well, I think, well, next month, I'm gonna, cat's out of the bag, there's only three.
See, there you go.
So I think y'all got great things. I think you're right, removing the arts, they do get their money now. Yeah. And I think that's a good idea with the sports stuff because there's so many booster clubs too.
Yeah.
anything else unless it's an absolute special.
Yeah, it's something different. Councilmember Bracken?
Yeah, I think when it was like prior council, there was like one or two applicants, and it was always like the band from one school and after prom. And that was the over and over again. So now we have a competitive scenario, I think, and point taken on the sports clubs. Maybe there has to be some extenuating circumstances that follow that. But I mean, the way that Trish originally ran the program, you had to be a nonprofit, and you had to serve the community, and you had to check all those boxes. So I don't think the sports programs in general, like, you know, just pick one, Cassidy baseball will necessarily qualify for it, or Douglas County baseball. So you have to have a different designation. So I'm a little bit where if they're actually serving the community, then they should be allowed to apply because they went through all the steps. They have to prove how they serve the community, in what way, and where the dollars go back, and then what the impact of it is. It's not just the baseball team asking for money. So I think the perception is that you know, every soccer team in Castle Rock is going to come asking. Well, they don't qualify for it. So I think we have Trish, do you have any comments to that programming?
I guess to go. I also have a question. Does it have to be a 501(c)? Okay.
And to piggyback on that is, I mean, how do you say? I would say, let everybody apply. We decide.
Yeah.
You know, I agree. You can't really. If it's wrestling or baseball, one of you guys will obviously pick wrestling over baseball or whatever. So, I mean, how do you say no?
Yeah, but my point is that Trish is about to explain what the qualifiers are. And then we can maybe talk further, because I don't think everybody understands they don't get the application if they don't meet the requirement.
And at this point, any sports club coming to fill out an application for the Council Community Grant Program, they do qualify. As you can see on the screen in front of you, it talks about youth programs and activities. So that's one category. And then the Council Community Grant Program itself is geared towards the quality of life for residents of Castle Rock. So when you take those parameters along with other items that we have in the program, yes, they do qualify under the program as it is currently written.
Thank you.
So I think on that one, I think we can take into consideration, you know, what we value in those groups before we decide. I just hate it, though, when we decide right in front of them, if we have a group of 8-year-olds here who are speaking about their team, but all their parents paid $2,000 a year for them to be on them, and they could probably go without one of their 4 uniforms instead of asking for $1,000, you know? So it's, you never know what the need is, but if they can clearly explain that they're doing something to support the community or provide opportunity for people who might not be able to have that, then we could consider it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate everyone's work on this, Kristen and everybody, and good insight.
So with the change desired for 2026, I think what we would look to do is maybe write this up and bring it back to you all to formally approve what we heard. The one I'm hearing, allow the sports teams to still apply, and you all can sort of judge them based on the merits of that. And otherwise, what I heard is increase to the 20,000 with no more than 5,000 per quarter, make the criteria that they must be based in Castle Rock, remove arts because they have their own program now, and then there was some discussion, but I'm not clear if we should include that in the recommended, is after 2 years of awards to cycle out for a year before they would be awarded again. Is everybody?
I like that idea.
Okay. Those are what we'll.
Councilmember Hollinger.
Just on the selection, if we have 10 groups apply in one quarter, do we want to debate those 10 groups up here? Or do we want to do something ahead of time to decide? I don't like the lottery thing, but
I would like to have probably something ahead of time, because you get all 10 people here, and all of a sudden you're like, now you're debating which 5 is going to get it, right?
Yeah.
And like, and then Councilmember Deese had a good point. Like next quarter, this one probably has only 3, which is and you could say if we ahead of time could say we're going to get to these 5, and they can come or not come. But then the people who don't get it can reapply for the next quarter or grant. I mean, I think that that might be easier on Trish's team and for our team as well.
Yeah, let's do it.
Is that possible, Trish? Okay. Thank you, Kristen.
All right. Thank you.
Moving on to number 18 in resolution 2025-147, resolution waiving the formal written bidding requirement on the basis of sole source and approving equipment services acquisition agreement for Logical Systems LLC. Mark Marlowe.
Hello, council again. This item is probably one you guys have heard a lot about over the last 6 years. So this has to do with our operational technology, our supervisory control and data acquisition system. As you guys know, we started down a complete overhaul of these systems back in 2019, created a plan 2023. We updated the plan. We've been implementing the plan. The plan is not inexpensive, so we've been moving through it. Also, in implementing the plan, as you guys know, we can't just shut down facilities for an entire year to do it. So we have to do the work oftentimes in the late fall through the early spring and get those projects done. So these are big projects and they take multiple years to complete. You can see the phases here. We're currently finishing up phase four, which is Miller Water Treatment Plant. We want to start the next phase, which is Ray Waterman. You guys know we're already doing a little project out there, an important project to convert to liquid ammonium sulfate for our disinfection, which we talked about just a little while ago. This is, of course, the idea of why we're doing this. I won't spend too much time on this because you guys have heard all this before. These are all the sites, so it's not just the Ray Waterman treatment plant. We have to do this work at a bunch of remote sites because all of our remote sites also have controls. They're tied into the system, they're monitored, and they're controlled from our main treatment facilities. Benefits, of course, I also don't think I need to spend a lot of time on this. A big part of this, of course, is reliability and efficiency, but also cybersecurity and ensuring we have a very secure system, which I think we're really making significant progress in. You guys approved a contract earlier tonight on the consent for Burns and McDonald. They're the design engineer. We want them to also be the construction engineer to oversee the work and make sure that things are going the way we want them to go. This is where we currently are in the SCADA master plan. So total budgeted through 2029, including what we've spent to date, so that includes what's been spent to date, is $24.5 million. We've spent about $11.3 million, so we're almost halfway through. Ray Waterman, Meadows, and some of these outlying sites are some of the biggest projects that we have to do just because of the number of remote sites associated with those facilities. What we're proposing tonight is begin phase five. And what we want to do is sole source with Logical Systems LLC. The contract is $5.9 million. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time on the sole source for this. So we've done a lot of work in this area because this is a big contract and we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing here. We've worked with both Burns and Mack, our design consultant for SCADA, and also Tetra Tech, who is our cybersecurity and other consultant that helps us with SCADA and operational technology. We've worked with them to get their recommendations on whether we should sole source this kind of project, and their answer is a resounding yes from both of them because they think it is in our best interest to have a single integrator. Now, the reasons having a single integrator are good, you can see over here, unified system architecture, really important to have this consistency. It makes it much easier to troubleshoot. And as you guys know, stuff happens at 2:30 in the morning, and you want to be able to troubleshoot that quickly and get staff in and out and get the system back up. It also improves our cybersecurity posture. Ultimately, the research indicates that it leads to lower long-term maintenance costs, which is important. It makes upgrades and support much easier because everything's consistent across the board, and it also makes for better lifecycle management. Now, there are some disadvantages, of course. You have to make sure that you're not locking in with a vendor that has a unique or proprietary system, which we're not doing. On the front end, you have to make sure you're getting a competitive price, obviously, if you're sole sourcing. And then, of course, you really have to watch QA and QC and make sure you're really getting what you want to get. Now, we have already some experience with this. The first project we did, we used a different vendor than LSI. And we actually have had some issues that we had to go back and deal with. Now, Logical Systems was the contractor for the Miller plant, and they've been doing all of our other work associated with the Skater Master Plan since we made a transition to them about in 2023. We did competitively bid the Miller Water Treatment Plant. We also did go back to LSI as we were working on this contract. We didn't accept their first price. We went back and negotiated their price down by about $250,000. And of course, the engineers have also reviewed this price and feel like it's a fair price. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time on that. Now, lots of other utilities take this same approach and use a single integrator, Parker being one. Some of the big utilities also do that. LSI provides services for a number of very well-known utilities, including Colorado Springs, the Pinery, one of our adjacent utilities, and others here in Colorado. So anyways, that's the request. We are requesting a 10% contingency. The idea is we would start purchasing equipment in January. Long lead times on this equipment. In the fall, we would start the actual work, and then this work will go all the way through August of 2027, because as I said, we can't just shut the plant down for the whole year. We did take this Castle Rock Water Commission. They unanimously recommended approval. Staff does also, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from Mark? Mayor Pro Tem?
Just because I want to know. LSI, as the integrator, are they also doing software, hardware? Are they bringing like the whole suite of solutions to the table, including like cyber and connectivity?
No, not necessarily.
So they're just integrating.
They're doing the integrating and the installation. They're not necessarily bringing the hardware. We use Allen Bradley. That's what we've settled on for most of our hardware and equipment, and Rockwell. So these are large systems, and they're basically putting those systems together and bringing them to bear, constructing and integrating and doing all
and
of that.
And then installing it.
Installing.
Exactly. Are they also doing the cyber piece of it, or is that something else we're bringing in from?
So the cyber piece, of course, is somewhat integrated into the systems that we're using, but the cyber thing is a whole different component that we're working on with Tetra Tech, our consultant. So as you know, we've made some progress in that area as well by cutting the cord to the internet, which we did about 5 years ago.
Because you're on LoRaWAN, right?
Uh-huh.
You're using LoRaWAN. Is connectivity?
We're using a digital diode to allow ourselves to bring data out of our operational technology, but it's like a one-way valve that prevents anything from going back into the system. So we can't remote access. People have to be at the sites.
Okay.
But they can be at any of our water plants and control the system.
Cool. Sorry.
Okay.
No.
I like this stuff.
Great questions.
Thanks, Mark.
Any further questions for Mark? We're going to bring it to public comment. Seeing none, I will open public comment. I have no one signed up to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium. And speak in the microphone, state your name, whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll bring back to town council for a possible motion and discussion.
I move to approve the resolution 2025-583 as introduced by title.
Second.
I have a first by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey, a second by Councilmember Davis. Any further discussion? Councilmember Bracken.
Mark, when should we shut off our sprinklers?
Councilmember Bracken, I think now would be a great time if you haven't already. There is cold weather coming, so I would, if you haven't, I would say soon.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Deeds.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
Mayor Gray.
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. Number 19, Resolution 2025-148, Resolution of the Town of Castle Rock authorizing Plum Creek Water Reclamation Authority to enter into a loan agreement, construction contract, and construction management services contract with PCWRA Reuse Reservoir Pump Station. Mark Marlowe.
All right. This is the one that'll take an hour since we have lots of time. All right. No. This is an important item. This is an item through Plum Creek Water Reclamation Authority. As you know, we're a member. Castle Rock Water generally is about an 80% owner in the facilities. There is a reuse reservoir and pump station, and this supplies golf courses in the region, including Red Hawk Golf Course. Castle Rock Water, of course, provides some of that reusable supply even to some of the other golf courses through a 1989 agreement. Now, the reservoir and the pump station are ready to be replaced. They've been ready to be replaced. The authority manager has been after the board for about 5 years to get this project done. There is a concern that we do need to get this done to ensure we maintain regulatory compliance. Now, we brought you an intergovernmental agreement in September that you guys approved. This is the follow-up to that intergovernmental agreement. So, of course, that IGA outlined the terms for a loan between the partners to do this project. And tonight, what I'm really coming back to you with is what we are actually recommending doing so that you guys will know what we're recommending doing. Castle Rock Water is essentially 25% of this because we are one of four golf courses with Red Hawk. The other three golf courses are managed through the other districts. So what are we actually doing here? We got bids, meaning the authority, got bids for two options. One was just to replace the liner in the reservoir, and option two was to replace the reservoir liner and completely replace the pump station as well. You can see the bids here. The low bid for the full project was $7.6 million. The authority did get approved for a direct loan through the Colorado Water Resources and Power Development Authority. 3.5% for a 30-year term. $3.5 million direct loan. The members of the authority, meaning the board, believe that option two is the most applicable to go ahead and get this whole thing done and address this issue and rehab this infrastructure. The members also agreed that using this loan, taking advantage of this loan, makes sense because the interest rate is pretty decent. 3.5% in this current environment is not bad. So the members did vote to approve the loan and approve the construction contract as well as a construction management contract with the design engineer, pending ratification by our various boards and councils, and which is why we're here tonight. Castle Rock Water, as we entered this, did look at a bunch of different options for us. We looked at options of whether we should not take the loan and just completely self-fund, whether we should take the loan and then self-fund the remainder, or whether we should take this loan and then participate in additional loans that PCWRA may seek for this project. We came to the conclusion really what works best for us at this time is to move forward with the direct loan at 3.5% interest and then self-fund the remainder so that we can make sure the project moves forward and that we're not waiting on any additional funding in the future. You can see the total cost of the loan over the 30-year period, and you can see how much Castle Rock Water will self-fund for Red Hawk. It's important to remember that this is infrastructure that primarily, well, really, only serves the golf course here in Castle Rock. So Jeff's team and the golf course will be paying for this over the period of time. Now, the way we've structured it is their charge will be on a per 1,000-gallon basis. It'll just be added to the current per 1,000-gallon fee that they pay already. And we will, they will finance that over 30 years for the loan and over 40 years for the portion that we are self-funding for them, or basically funding for them, which is consistent with what we did for the original reuse project for the golf course, which was the purple pipe that goes from the authority all the way to the golf course. Let's see, we did, of course, take this to commission, Castle Rock Water Commission. They recommended approval. Also, the PCWRA board is, of course, recommending approval. And both staff are also, and I think, I talked to Jeff today. I think his team is supportive of this as well. And I think that's it. The project will be completed before irrigation season in 2026. So over the next 4 or 5 months.
Thank you, Mark. Any questions for Mark? Since there's none, I'll put this up to the public. No one signed to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium, speak in the microphone. State your name, whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to town council for a possible motion and discussion.
I move to approve resolution 2025-148 as introduced by title.
Second.
I have a first by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey, a second by Councilmember Hollingshead. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is adjourned to executive session. We will not return. Number 20, executive session 2025. The time is now 7:07. I will move to go into executive session for the purpose of discussing legal issues relating to Craig and Gould North project to determine positions on relative matters that may be subject to negotiations, developing strategy for negotiations, instructing town's negotiators under CRS 24-6-4024E, and number two, possible town property acquisition, open space negotiation possible, position possible for acquisition costs. Geo property adjacent to Lost Canyon Ranch, CRS 24-6-4024A. Town Council will now adjourn to it. Executive session will not return. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Councilmember Bracken. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. We are adjourned and we will not return. Have a great Thanksgiving. Take care, everybody.